is in their inbox.
Good afternoon, sir. And what is your name, sir?
Eric Stock.
Mr. Stock, hold on 1 second. Let's see who's going to lead your discussion.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to try to see how I have
Mr. Neal is going to lead your discussion off here and chair your hearing, so just hold on, sir.
Yes, sir. Are we calling somebody on this one?
Sir, would you please state your name and ADC number for the record? Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you state your name and ADC number for the record, please?
Eric Stock, ADC number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2.
Oh, wow, that's different.
What a great number.
You have one number from the lottery winner. Okay, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Deputy Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members and the DOC parole office representative. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To his right is the Honorable Lou Kelly. And to his right is the Honorable Gail Whitnow. I'd also like to introduce you to Mr. Osborne, with brain dead. Mr. Osborne from, he's representing the Department of Corrections and the patrol officer.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, prior to serving, you signed and received a notification from, about the board meeting today, and you signed it on September 29th. Do you remember that, sir?
Yes, sir.
That acknowledges the date of the hearing and also tell your hearing rights, one of which is that you have the right to obtain an attorney at your own expense if you wish, or you can represent yourself. So did you retain an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I represent myself.
Okay, thank you. Now I need to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Okay. You saw me swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you guys, do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do, sir.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine that if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We'll start out phase one, and you have one allegation on your warrant. I'm going to read the allegation, and then you need to tell me whether it's true or false. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You want to have one allegation which says that this person is it stoke or stock?
Stock,
okay, pronunciations. The warrant says Mr. Stock violated the Arizona conditions of supervision number two as demonstrated by his failure to follow the directives of his assigned parole officer by failing to report in face-to-face contact visit on or about August 7th, 2017 as verbally directed on July 7th, 2017. The offender is actively avoiding supervision, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Mr. Stock, is that true or false?
Thank
you. Based on the admission of Mr. Stock, I move to find that he was delinquent and that he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or has lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, sir, that... Where's my paperwork here? Okay, now we're gonna move on to phase two. And we'll start that with Mr. Osborne, we'll give some more, some other information about you and the offense. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. Mr. Stock was released from DOC custody on October 4th of 2016. He was arrested on September 8th of 2017 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit and the U.S. Marshal's Office as a field arrest on his absconded work status. And was returned back to custody that same day, I'm sorry, was returned back to custody on September 12th of 17 with 32 abscond days, with a community supervision end date of October 6th of 2018. Current conviction, 2007, resisting arrest to 1 year. Prior conviction, 1996, criminal damage, 2 years. 1996, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. 2007, flight from law vehicle, 7 years. And 2007, resisting arrest, 5 years. He's had two terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2-2, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is no SGG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1998, ERCD completion, 8 months. He has a significant disciplinary history with rioting, drugs, and theft noted. Other arrests, 1992, aggravated assault, AZ felony conviction, probation. 1995, damage to property or private property, AZ felony conviction, probation. And 2005, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of G2V4, and I do have an email attached from Senior Parole Officer Brian Clark with the status of charges from the U.S. Marshal's Office dating Monday, October 2nd of 2017. So the U.S. Marshals are processing charges for possession of dangerous drugs for sale, methamphetamines, the defender had on his possession during his apprehension for our ADC absconder work. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, Mr. Scott, you were released, you're approved as a resident at 1859 Marble Canyon Drive in Bullhead City, Arizona. Was your mother Jackie Stock?
Yes, sir.
All right, it lists the phone numbers. Offender requested no change of residence. Well, so you remained with her the whole time living there, the whole time you were out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Says you were, you had very variable employment working for security and postal systems. Were you, did you work for them the whole time you were out, or did you have other employees?
Yes, sir. It just until my, and then when my mom got real sick with the cancer, they relieved me for a while, and I went home and took care of her full time. My stepfather went in the hospital, and he had a stroke, so I was the only one there to take care of her. She was on hospice, dying of cancer. So they let me go for a little while so I could take care of them.
Okay, so they let you take leave of absence rather than you just quit and you get fired?
Yes, sir.
That's commendable. On October 5th, you were assigned a task color code gray. And 3 negative urine specimens while assigned this color. Offender completed his programming and was then assigned a task at PO discretion. All right, so when the PO tells you, There's one additional way that I think you were directed. Let's see. It was negative also. But it seems that once that you were told to go ahead and do a UA or a staffing in, then you didn't follow that directive. And it was set in the same, so. So you were sanctioned, staffed and sanctioned for those. There's a program. They were the same substance abuse treatment and Southwest Behavioral Health for anger management treatment. You successfully completed SAGE and successfully completed anger management. I'd like to congratulate you on that. Those programs can be able to move forward. But then it seems like in July that you had relapse and you went back to SAGE. Due to your admitted alcohol use and then failed to complete intake with SAGE as directed.
Yes, sir, that's right about. I was right before my mom died there.
Okay. So you were on a scale for 32 days. Where were you at and what were you doing during those 32 days?
I was trying to help my dad take care of our houses. We have six rentals. And then take care of the house up there and my mom's belongings and get things in order there.
Why couldn't you contact your PO while you were doing that?
I called him like two or three times. But a few of the times, you know, he wanted me to report I'd been drinking and, you know, it's just losing my mom. So I'm an only kid, which is, it was pretty devastating.
Mr. Osborne, are there any notes in there as far as contact during that abscond time?
Yes, sir. After the reporting instruction letter on 8-11, on 8-16, it notes that he called and he was told to report to the office. He asked why he didn't come to the office when he's supposed to, and he said because he was busy. He gave no other reason. Dr. Zentz called him to report by 3 p.m. that day, and he told him that he was in Oak Creek Canyon, and he would not be able to make it.
I was spreading my mom's ashes up there, and he called me, and it's more than a 3-hour drive, and I told him there's no way I could be back there by 3. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to issue a warrant. I said, I'll do everything I can to get back in. Of course, you know, I didn't get back in time.
How soon after that did they arrest you for the warrant?
I think 2 or 3 weeks.
Did you ever think that you might be able to go in the next day and take care of the problem? Make the print?
I wasn't thinking right, you know. I just lost my mom, and, you know, she was everything. And I just wasn't thinking, and I could have probably just picked up the phone and called him. He would have helped me out, but I was pretty devastated.
Okay. Were there any questions?
I do.
Mr. Johnson?
So while your mom was ill, your mom was taking several different pain medications, is that right?
Hospice was giving it to her.
Okay, well, there's some indication from the nurse that some of that medication was actually missing, and the allegations is that you had taken some of your mom's pain medications.
No. Huh? They came in and took it out. They took all her equipment, medicines, everything.
But the medicine, according to hospice, the medication, they did get it, but most of their pain medication and drug medication was gone.
No, they took everything.
Okay, so what's the relationship that you have with your stepfather, Mr. Kerry Stock?
Well, He's probably pretty upset with me right now. I kind of let him down because he just got out of the hospital and I didn't even stop and think about how he was feeling. So, I mean, up till that point, we've been great, you know?
But he says that he wrote a letter. He was sick for a while. He was in the hospital and he couldn't be there, but the letter that he wrote, sir, indicates that although your mom was ill, that you took advantage of your mom and several things are missing from the house as a result of you being there, and you're the only person that could have taken those things from the house.
Now, we were having garage sales every weekend. That's what he asked me to do, and he was there every time.
Okay. Sir, and then, you know, you say that you were there taking care of your mom and your mom's property and everything your mom was doing. However, you still wind up with this incident with the U.S. Marshal for the possession of a dangerous drug for sale at the time when you should have been taking care of your mom and distraught about doing that.
That was after the fact she'd already died.
Well, I understand, and that's what you said earlier, that you were distraught after your mom passed, and that was the reason why you didn't contact your parole officer, because you was just distraught and just upset because your mom had passed.
Yeah, she went to like Southwest Behavioral and tried to get some grief counseling, or, you know, this is the first time anybody's real close to me that I know that's died. You know, I mean, she's like as close as it gets.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I guess maybe Mr. Stark has already answered this, but exactly what were you doing those 32 days that you absconded, sir?
I was just being numb. I was up at the house with my stepdad on weekends having a garage sale, but during the week I wasn't there.
What were you doing during the week, sir?
Periodically.
What were you doing during the week since you were not there? What were you doing?
I was visiting my fiance.
Why didn't you tell your PO that you was going to visit your fiance, sir?
She lived right there in town, so I mean, I didn't move in or anything.
I think you were aware of the fact, you know, in as much, I think it was 98 or something, you completed your parole. I think you were familiar with that your PO is supposed to know where you are at all times when you're on parole, or in this case, community supervision. But somehow for 32 days, you didn't report in, sir. Any particular reason why?
My drinking, sir.
Yes, sir. Were you drinking? Was that the reason why you didn't report in? Were you drinking alcohol or something? Or using drugs?
Yes, sir.
Which one? Drinking or drugs?
I was drinking. I was just trying to stay numb from dealing and feeling what happened to my mom.
Okay, sir. Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any more questions? I
have
one other question.
Yes, sir.
You were given information about, you were told in a letter that you were kind of behind on child support in Arizona?
I think maybe a month or two is where I was behind. I started in March. I was paying $100 a month.
Okay, that's child support.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. No other questions? Well, Mr. Scott, we're coming to the end of your hearing. The panel will go into discussion and we'll decide whether to reinstate your community supervision or revoke it. Do you have any questions? Finally, you'd like to say before?
I just like the chance to get out there and get in some grief counseling and maybe an alcohol treatment and just help my stepdad out and get things taken care of like I was supposed to.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go, the panel's going to go on discussion, and while we're doing that, we're going to be talking amongst ourselves, and it may seem like we're talking to you at times, but they're not, and we'd like you to remain silent while we do that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we're in discussion. This is kind of complicated situation as far as, you know, deciding how to handle it, but based on the information that I've been given today, with the relapse in the alcohol, possession of drugs for sale and all that, I'm not in favor of reinstating his community supervision at this time. But I think that while he's incarcerated, he can see drug and alcohol rehabilitation if nothing else in the form of NA and AA meetings and the 12-step programs. So I'm not in favor of reinstating his community supervision at this time, but I'm willing to listen to any of my colleagues.
I say a lot, I agree.
And so, I move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Stump because he was delinquent, violated term condition of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
A second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Stump, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, but you will be out without community supervision. As far as these charges go, they'll be done by October 6th of 2018. If nothing else comes up between now and then, that's when you'll be out, no community supervision, nobody to watch over you, nobody to report to. In the meantime, while you're still incarcerated, they do have programs inside to help with alcoholism and with all kinds of substance abuse. So,
I've been in four meetings a week here.
Okay,
so I have been.
Sir. Okay, there's no more discussion now about how to just explain a little bit to you. So,
yes, sir.
The hearing is over. We wish you a lot of luck, and hope that you can, once you do get out, that you can go back to Golden City and take care of business and be a productive citizen. So thank you for being here today. And please call me back to the CL3, please.
Yes.